church, haven't we? We've changed the look of some things. We've changed the name of the church. We've grown into Rise Church, something that I feel like fits us very well, that God is calling us to rise to the challenge that he's placed in front of us for our community. Amen? And what I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit about what Rise means. We're going to be starting our series over the next few weeks, and I'm going to be laying out the vision of why God called us to rise. What was the purpose behind it beyond just a name change? What's the vision behind it? What does it mean to rise as a church in our community and in our neighborhoods and in our families? Amen? That God wants us to be able to come up to a higher place. Amen? You know, one of the things I like, you guys know me. If you know me, you know I like C.S. Lewis quite a bit. C.S. Lewis is, I think, he wrote more than children's books, which, if you haven't read those children's books, there's more theology in those children's books than some of the books that are coming out by well-known preachers. Oh, Jesus, give me restraint. And he had a phrase he used to say in those children's books. He'd say, we're going further up and further in. Further up, further in. And that's part of one of the things that really resonated with me, that God is calling us to go further up and further in, into his presence, into his purpose, into the place that he's called us as a community. That we've been at one level, but now it's time to come up to another level. Amen? And that's something that we want to do. So what we did was I want to be spend the next few weeks breaking down the vision of Rise. Now, if you walk out into what we're calling this over here, we're calling this the base camp side and the summit side. It's the little play on the mountains thing, right? And so over here on base camp side, you're going to see some signs that have our Rise Church logo on it, but they're going to have some words on it. And that's because Rise breaks down into words. It's the first one is R, which is relational. That we're going to be a relational church. That we believe that God has called us to establish relationship, amen, first with him and then with others. So we need to be a church that understands that we are a relational people. How many of you know you got saved because of a relationship? Did you save yourself? It was with relationship with Jesus, wasn't it? You said yes to an invitation from Jesus to be part of his family. You were brought into a relationship with him. And because of that relationship, you are now walking in a new level of freedom above. Amen? That relationship called you to a higher place. It called you out from darkness into his wonderful light. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So I want to focus today a little bit on the importance of relationship. Because in order for us to rise, we have to understand the importance of relationship, healthy relationships. I'm going to tell you right now, you cannot do this alone. Too many people are trying to walk their faith by themselves in a vacuum. That was never God's intention. God never intended for us to do this whole thing by ourselves. He always intended that we would walk in first relationship with him, but second in relationship with each other. Relationships are important. How many of you know that good relationships can make for a good life? Amen? How many of you know bad relationships can cause some trouble? You know what's interesting to me? Even God cared so much about relationship that if you go and you look in the book of Genesis, the very establishment of the earth was because God wanted relationship with us. All of creation was because God wanted to be relational. He wanted to be a father, right? And then if you go later in Exodus, when God gives the Ten Commandments, how many of you have heard of them? Anybody heard of the Ten Commandments? They're kind of important. You should know them, right? All outside of two of the commandments, they all have to deal with how we relate with each other. Right? It says, have no other idols before him. Don't take his name in vain. And then it's, don't steal. Who does that affect? Each other, right? Because when I steal from you. And when you steal from me. Hopefully you don't steal from me. Thou shalt not kill. How many of you know that's pretty relational? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Come on, you understand that God's very concerned about how we get along. Because he's a good father, and how many good parents know that it makes you happy when your children get along? How many of you know it creates a lot of disharmony in the home when the kids don't get along? Right? It makes for a tense, noisy, angry home. How many of you know the home doesn't run correctly when mom and dad don't get along? Relationships matter. And God said that not only is your relationship with me important, but your relationship with one another is important. And so at Rise Church, we want to be committed to bringing people to a higher place relationally. I want to see God heal relationships. I want to see God fix homes. Amen? I want to see God put things back together again the way they should be. I don't want people living in brokenness and animosity. Amen? The Bible says, if at all possible, be at peace with all men. To live relationally harmonious lives. And I believe that relationships are far more important than we give them credit for. Don't worry, they'll come back. There they go. Now, relationships, they're far more important than we give credit to. Too often, we live in places of isolation. And I'm going to tell you what happens. When you live isolated, you get weird. I'm going to tell you right now, you get weird. And I don't mean that good kind of weird. How many of you know there's a good weird, right? Yeah? Some of you are that good weird. Some of you are borderline weird. We don't know yet. I'm kidding. But you get weird. You get weird in your ideology. You get weird in your thought process. You begin to become too isolated, and you begin to think in such a vacuum that you have your own echo chamber going in your head, and you begin to be led astray. And the purpose of relationship is to keep us tied in, to keep us connected. Amen? That's why our relationships are important. So let me jump into my message this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about developing the correct relationships, healthy relationships, and what it means to be a relational church. We need relationship. Genesis 2:18 starts by saying, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" We instantly just think of this in the context of marriage, but understand that your marriage is your greatest helper. But God sends other helpers into your life. Amen? What he's doing is he's establishing right off the bat that it is not good for my people to be by themselves. Because God could have just made Adam and just left it. But he looked down and he says, "This isn't my design. This isn't my desire. I desire that people be together, that people be a part of families, that people have connectivity, that people have relationship with each other." That it's true, just not just in the context of marriage, but it's also true in the context of life. You know, you listen, guys, everybody wants to be the Lone Ranger, but even the Lone Ranger had Tonto and Silver. We think we can do it on our own, but we can't do it on our own. One of the greatest mistakes we make in life is to think that we can do all of this by ourselves. You know, one of the most dangerous things to say as a person is this: "I don't need anybody." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And I it's typically the people who say "I don't need anybody" are the people who need somebody the most. That we have to be connected, that we were supposed to. See, guys, that's the purpose of this thing called church. You understand, church is God's idea. And when people say, "I can serve Jesus, but I don't have to go to church," I'm on a soapbox. I'll get off in a minute, I promise. I can serve Jesus, but I can just watch church online. Great. Is online going to show up for you when you're sick? Because the point wasn't about how good the messages were or how great the worship is. If you want good messages and a great word, listen, I'm here to tell you, go on the internet. You have it all at the touch. You can get anything you want out there. But the key component is the relationship. It's who's going to be there for me when I need somebody? Who's going to feed my family when I'm struggling? Who's going to check up on me? Who's going to pray for me? Who's going to be there? Who's going to make sure I'm okay? Who's going to notice I haven't been there for a couple weeks and call me? Amen? And the thing is we have to make ourselves available to relationship. See, too often we walk in a place and we go, "Well, I showed up and I crossed my arms and sat in the back row, showed up late and left early, and nobody talked to me. Listen, I'm not being critical because I know it's very scary to walk into a new place. But that's, guys, why I was harping on relationship earlier, or hospitality earlier, excuse me. Because some people struggle to connect. And real quick, I'm going to go ahead and say this. Some people struggle to connect, and my prayer is that we as a church are so relationally minded and so driven by hospitality and caring. You understand, hospitality is about caring for people. That we care for people so much that when people make the big, bold risk of walking into a place for the first time, which is hard, that we love on them. They've already taken the risk to be here. Let's not make it harder for them than it needs to be. Amen? Let's be relational. Let's just love on people. Smile. Say hello. Do you know there are some people that just have a gift of connectivity among them, upon them? They just know how to connect with people. And you look at those people and man, I wish I could be like that. But everybody has the ability to walk up to somebody and say, hi, how are you? You know, every relationship starts with, hi. You guys okay? All right, I need to get back on notes. But God didn't intend us to do this by ourselves. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I want to read verses 9 through 12, and then I want to go back and break this scripture down quickly. It says, two are better than one, amen? Because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who was alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen? Verse 9 tells us that there's greater potential for increase and reward in our labor, in our working together, if we're involved in a team or in a covenant relationship. How many of you know teams do better than somebody by themselves? Amen? Verse 10 tells us that encouragement and strength and support come from your relationships that you have. Verse 11, relationships are a primary means of keeping our spiritual embers stirred up and our spiritual fire burning. Guys, listen, you will go cold if you don't have somebody encouraging you in the most holy of faith. Verse 12 says, overcoming power to face the enemy and problems in life is much more effective if you are in a covenant relationship with somebody. It's better to fight together than to fight alone. Amen? Verse 10 stands out to me. It says, woe to him who is alone when he falls. I'm having to resist every urge to say I've fallen and I can't get up. Life alert. But, you know, we laugh at that commercial. And I'm not trying to be cheesy here, even though I probably will be. But how many people are out there in the world that are fallen and they can't help themselves up out of the place that they've fallen into? Because they're alone. They don't have anybody. That's why the Bible says, woe to you who are alone when you fall. For you have no one to lift you up again. We can fall in many different ways. We will fall. You're going to scrape your knees in this life. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have situations that you're of struggle, and you need somebody standing next to you to lift you up. Amen? God did not intend that we stand alone in isolation. So don't wait until you're weak, you're tempted, or fallen to develop an important relationship, a covenant relationship. Our need for relationship is the very reason why we read in Hebrews a couple passages of Scripture I want to read, starting with 3:12 through 13, 14, it says this: "Take care, brothers, lest there be any or in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today." I love that. As long as the day is called today, exhort one another, encourage one another, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Hebrews 10, 23 and 25 says this. It says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." To notice that we stir each other up to love. We stir each other up to good works. Amen? "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Amen? That God has called us to be together. That God has called us to encourage and to lift up. And how many of you know we're far more effective together than we are apart? Amen? See, God builds his kingdom through relationships. Simply stated, relationship is the primary means that God works in our lives. I can't stress this enough. I'm going to tell you right now, I was in Poland, I was in meetings, I was with a man named Paul Scanlon. You may have heard of him, you may not have. We were doing some meetings over there in Poland, and he said something to me, this was many years ago, he said something to me that stuck with me, and it's something I've been watching. And he says, 95% of the miracles you need will come through a relationship that you already have. He said, so therefore, if you have no relationships, you're cutting off your access to the miraculous. Because God uses people to do the miraculous will of him in the earth. You guys okay? Now, we know that God does dramatic healing, right? Miracles, right? Anybody been healed? And you know God was the one who did it. But maybe God sent somebody to pray for you. Amen? How about a miracle of provision? A miracle of somebody who just, there is the lights again. A miracle of somebody that you prayed and said, God, I have a need. Or maybe it was a single mom and, you know, she was praying, God, I don't know how I'm going to feed the kids this week. And then all of a sudden, God moves on somebody's heart. And that person who knows that situation shows up and says, I got enough food for you. Let me stock your cupboards. Who did the miracle? God did it, but who do you use to do it? A relationship, amen? I guarantee you, every person in this room has had something, some testimony in their life you can say, somebody did something for you that was a miracle in the moment that you needed it, amen? See, God likes to use us to bless each other. What I think is my no big deal gift, talent, or ability could be the miracle for somebody else when I use it for them in their life. Amen? Relationship is the primary mean that God works in our lives. Example, Moses and Joshua, they had a good relationship and they took the land. Amen? Elijah and Elisha, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Paul believed in relationship. But can I highlight this real quick though? Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas, Paul and Titus, Paul and Timothy. Paul was considered the greatest evangelist that we had ever seen. And he evangelized the known world at the time. How did he do it? By himself? No. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Amen? He invested in these younger men, and he raised them up so that they could go further and do more than he did. Amen? Luke chapter 10, verse 1 tells us, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Two by two, he sent them, not one by one. Did you notice this? That the work of the Lord, as it went out two by two. They did it in relationship. They were not sent alone to do what God asked them to do. God's blessing comes to us through the hands of men. And Luke 6:38 says this, "Given it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." Amen? That's what I was just talking about. We're blessed by each other because God uses us to do this. Everything significant in life, and I want you to think about this statement I'm about to make. Everything significant in your life comes through some form of relationship. Think about that. Everything significant in your life is connected to a relationship somehow. That's why when you cut off relationship, you cut off significance. We have to realize that some of these relationships that we think are unimportant might be the small hinges upon which big doors swing. They might be more important than you give them credit for. Amen? So we have to develop our healthy relationships. Ephesians 4:16 says this, "The whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." Amen? Talking about us being part of a whole body and that every joint supplies something. God has appointed us to receive a good measure of growth, provision, and grace through others who he has joined us with in relationship in his body. Amen? And after a period of time, some of us are tempted to stop valuing relationship because of this little word called familiarity. We begin to undervalue relationships because that person's just always been there. I say praise God for the ones who have always been there. The older I get, the more I'm realizing the value isn't so much in talent or charisma. The value is in consistency. Who keeps showing up? Amen? And sometimes we make mistakes, especially when we're young, and some of us when we're old. Young people, don't be drawn in by charisma and talent, and look for the content. Look for the substance. Amen? Look for the consistent. Look for the people who just keep showing up. Amen? Look for the people who are consistently there for you. See, I value consistency and faithfulness now more than I do anything else. You okay? See, after a period of time, we're tempted to stop valuing relationship because we become familiar with it. But what we have to understand is the Bible told us what God has joined together, do not separate. And that's both in marriage and in covenant relationship. You say, what does that mean? It means don't use people as stepping stones and leave them in the dust after you've gotten what you want. Amen? Covenant relationship. You have to stick with the people that God has connected you to, and you have to stick with them for purpose. Amen? You know, it's... I've had somebody ask me, you know, Pastor James, and I've shared this with you. This is nothing to hide. Would you ever leave Decatur? Absolutely not. Jesus himself would have to show up and tell me to leave this place. Why? Because God has connected my heart to this place and to this people. And just because a bigger church comes along, just because a church with more resources, just because a church down the road who looks like they've got it better together than we have, this is not a career option for me. Hear what I'm saying. This is not about me climbing a corporate ladder. This is about us being connected to a people that God has called us to. Amen? And you stick with the ones that God has connected you to in covenant relationship. Amen? You guys okay? It's important because that's how we grow. That's how we develop. That's how we create legacy. That's how we build things that are bigger than us. You don't build by constantly starting over. If you're tired of starting, or you're tired of having to constantly not get anywhere, well, quit starting over. You got to build something, and it takes time, and it takes consistency, and you have to work at it in order to build anything of any significance. Amen? You know, many people find themselves in what the Bible called in Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones. No life in them. Nothing going on. But the reason there was no life and nothing going on is because all those bones, we don't have time to go into it today, but all of those bones that you saw in the valley of dry bones, they were dry and disconnected. It wasn't until God breathed on them and life began to come back into them, and they began to reconnect with one another through bone and tissue and sinew and ligament and skin. And all of a sudden, when the connectiveness happened, when it began to connect, then you look down and you saw an army. It's when we all come together. That's when life moves forward, is when we're connected to each other. Amen? But sometimes we forget that relationships take time. They take time. They take time to prove. They take time to develop. And some of us were so impatient that we walk in and say, well, that didn't work, and we move on. When sometimes relationships take time. See, integrity, trust, selflessness, or these opposite character traits, they have to be proven over time. You can't judge a book by its cover. You have to check out the content of what's going on the inside. Amen? Looks, image, and gifts only go as far as a character will carry them. If your character can't support it, you're not going to go very far. But relationships take time. Two important principles to remember about the connection between relationships and time. One is this: make time your friend and not your enemy in developing relationships. Use time to your advantage to get to know the person instead of rushing things and being pushy. Right? It kind of reminds me, you know, like when you were in like kindergarten. You meet somebody, hi, how are you? You're my best friend. Literally, we've known each other 2 minutes, but you're my best friend. But the problem is some of us don't get beyond that when we get older. We run into somebody new and we become infatuated with the new one. You say, you're my best friend. Not ever taking time to cultivate the relationship and see what's going on and check out who the person is. Come on. I'm not saying be overly suspicious and overly. What I'm saying is give things time to breathe. Because things that are going to be established for long term, you can't rush into them. They take time. They take time to build. They take time to develop. They take time to work out, you know? And the problem is, you know, when we're in grade school, you're my best friend this week. Now you're my best friend next week. Now you're my best. How many of you know that's not maturity? We got to mature beyond that. It takes time. And make time your friend in doing this. And the second is make time for your relationships. Make relationships a priority on your schedule and on your calendar, because the truth is we live in a goal-oriented society, don't we? Many times we miss out on divine appointments because we're trying to meet a goal. It doesn't fit in my schedule. I got to do this. I got to focus on this goal. And we're trying to focus on a goal so much that we miss out on divine appointment because we haven't made time to connect relationally. Amen? Got to move on here. You know, even Jesus valued time spent in a relationship. In Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Jesus ordained 12 men to be with him, to spend time with him. Right? And it says, he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. Jesus himself surrounded himself with people. So if Jesus needed to do it, guess what? So do you. Amen? People are worth our time. They're not a waste of time. Now, before I jump into this next part, I just want to say this. Every single one of us in this room has been hurt through a relationship. Somebody hurt you. Is there anybody who's exempt from that? And the temptation there might be, well, I'm never going to allow somebody that close to me again because I don't want to get hurt. But I'm going to tell you, the option is, yeah, there's a chance you might get hurt. That's a good time to be able to learn to practice forgiveness too, by the way. But the alternative of doing this life alone, it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk, amen? Take a chance on people. You okay? I want to talk about, real quick, and I'm going to close in just a few moments, there's different levels of relationship. Does everybody know this? How many of you know not everybody can be your best friend? Right? There's different levels of relationship. My wife enjoys a different level of relationship with me than anybody else will. But that's by design, yeah? That's on purpose. You know, that's how God wants it, right? So in there's different levels of relationship in our life. There's God. Amen? There's your spouse. Then there's your children. Hold up. There's your spouse. Let me say this. Then there's your children. Too often we get that flipped. Kids, I'm going to tell you right now, this is not an offense to y'all. But you're going to grow up and you're going to move out and we're going to be left alone. Love your spouse more than you love your children. It's biblical. Amen? And by the way, if you will do that, it will bring security to your children. It'll bring health to your children, and it'll actually make them braver and bolder. You okay? Is that right? Okay. There's different levels of relationship. There are both outer and inner relationship. There's casual and intimate relationships. For an example, Jesus had a relationship with the multitudes. He had a relationship with the 70, then he had a relationship with the 12, then he had a relationship with the 3, and then he had the 1. Right? Jesus even himself modeled this, that there are different, not everybody can be your best friend. Not everybody can be in covenant relationship with you. Amen? There are some people you're just called to know. And it's good to know them. Amen? And guess what? God can use the people you just know. Right? I'm not talking about the Facebook friends, the ones that you kind of saw once. I'm talking about people you know. You just know them. Right? But then there's people that you maybe it's like, I don't just know them, but I'm friendly with them. Correct? And guess what? God can use the people you're friendly with to help you. There's been many times that God has used somebody who I'm just friendly with that said, you know what? God told me to do this for you. Right? And then there's other relationships where they become deeper and closer and more intimate. And then there's people that God has placed in your life to help develop you and grow you and to see you come to a place of purpose and to see you grow. That's called a covenant relationship. People you're connected with for long periods, for a long haul. The long period to, ready to go. Amen? Guess what? Not everybody can be that for you. I only have a couple of those. And they're necessary and they're important and you have to have them. But they're different levels of relationship. Don't let the multitudes keep you from maintaining an open heart and developing true covenant relationships. Don't let the users and the takers and the time wasters cause you to withdraw into self-protection and become cynical. Amen? We all need discipling. We need peer and mentor relationships, and each of these relationships are different in nature. Jesus did not commit himself to all men. He died for all men, but he did not commit himself to all men. John 2:24 tells us why he did that, but Jesus on his part did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. Right? The reason he did that is he knew that the crowd would leave him. How many of you know the crowd will leave you? But covenant relationships will stick with you, even in difficult times, especially in difficult times. Be wise as Jesus in recognizing which relationships you can commit intimate things with. You cannot share your heart with everybody. One of the problems we have in this world is we have too many people that they're you know, they meet somebody and then next thing you know, they're pouring their whole heart out to them. And what they're doing is they're putting their hearts in the hands of somebody who doesn't love them like they should. And then you wonder why you get hurt. Don't put your heart in the hands of people that have no care for you. It's good to be friendly. It's good to be kind, but there's only so many people you can share the deepest, intimate things of your life with. And you need those people, right? Not everything has to go on Facebook. Y'all, stop it. Stop it. Not everything has to go out on social. Not everything in your heart has to go out on blast. Well, that's just how I am. That's how I tell everybody. Well, then you're going to set yourself up for a life of hurt. Use some wisdom. Use wisdom. Young people, you can't tell everything to everybody because it'll be around school faster than you know it. If you haven't felt that already, don't put yourself in that position again. Use wisdom. Amen? I wish I could say I'm only talking to them. But there's some of us that we grow up and we don't know the difference either. Amen? Michelle, would you come? I'm going to close in just a moment. Some relationships are seasonal. Others are for life. Don't despise the seasonal ones. They're good. Amen? But others are for life. Inner circle relationships do not begin at the inner circle level. Right? You know what I mean by that? See, your inner circle, those are your close relationships. Those ones that are going to be there for life. The ones you tell everything to. How many of you know they didn't start as inner circle relationships? They took time to develop, time to cultivate, time to become, improve over time. They're developed. And it's important for us to understand that time is imperative for us in developing the right kind of relationships that God wants us to have. But that also means we have to make ourselves available. And listen, this isn't just pastor harping on. I'm going to tell you something right now. The reason we built out these wings and tore out all these offices was because we wanted to give you guys more space. We wanted our people to have more space to spend time with each other. More opportunities. The reason we do connect groups and life groups is because we want to create more opportunities for people to spend time and come together. How many of you know sitting down over a meal is a great way to learn about somebody? It's a great way to connect. Come on, thank God for food. How many of you had great celebrations over Christmas and New Year's? Amen? How many of you ate more than you should have? Right? I was saying to somebody this morning, who did I say it to? That if your pants aren't tight, you didn't do it right. Just go to the gym a little extra on the 1st of January. You'll be fine. You can quit by February, I promise. We come together over food and we celebrate and we share and we spend time, amen? And we grow and we develop and we hear each other's hearts. And as we begin to do that, God will begin to draw people closer into us. And the reason why we're opening up these areas and the reason why we do these programs is because we understand the importance that we need to be a relational church. Guys, I don't want to be one of these pastors that hides in their office and comes out when it's time to preach and then disappears. I want the smell of sheep on me. Amen? That we have to be able to connect. Now, listen, I can't be everybody's best friend. But I can have an opportunity to live my life in such a way that I can try to touch as many people as I can. Amen? Now, understand, we're not going to be able to connect. Not all of us will be able to connect on the same levels. But God has connection for every single one of us. And that's why this thing called the church is so ridiculously beautiful, because we're all messed up, we're all broken, we all come from different backgrounds, yet we all come together and we connect around our common love for our Father. And we take care of each other through the mess. And when we fall down, we pick each other up. And that pleases the heart of God. But hear me, I'm going to say this with love, but that means you can't come in at 10:35 and leave as soon as the amen is spoken. Come early. Eat Gary's food. Have a cup of coffee. Be intentional about connecting with somebody. Amen? And if you're visiting with us today, I hope you feel welcome. My prayer is that you feel at home. And if there's anything we can do to help you, let us know. Amen? Because we're a church full of generous people. Good people. But God wants us to be in relationship. God wants us to be connected. But it all starts with connecting with Him first. Amen? Let's stand. If you're in this place here today,